Welcome into a special edition of the Future Stocks podcast. My name is Elijah Evans, and I am lucky enough today to be joined by Dan Helody of the Kannapolis Cannonballers. We are super excited to have Dan on today to talk, just do a little bit of a preview for the Cannonballers season. Jeff Cohen and I on the Roundup did a preview of Charlotte and Birmingham this week. We also talked to Kurt Bloom a few weeks ago, and then James and Ian are doing a Winston-Salem preview that they just did yesterday as well. So we're super excited to get a, you know, kind of these one-on-one conversations with guys who watch the team every day. Dan does an excellent job broadcasting for the Cannonballers, and we are really pumped to talk everything Kannapolis, which is, you know, the low A team for the White Sox, right? A lot of young players, a lot of guys that are just kind of up and coming and fun to watch. So this is going to be a cool episode. Thanks for coming on, Dan.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Pleasure to be on and pleasure to hop in and talk some Ballers baseball. There's really nothing better than getting to talk about Ballers baseball. And man, it feels like it's here, and it feels like, you know, a lot of excitement, and we're just ready. We're ready to go, man. It's going to be a fun season.
Yeah, we're definitely pumped here at Future Stocks for all the levels and everything going on right now. This is kind of the best time of the year, right? It almost feels like, you know, it's a holiday almost this week with all the minor leagues starting, with major leagues kicking off and everything like that. Before we dive into the Cannonballers stuff, can you tell people who don't know as much about you just a little bit about you, kind of, you know, how your upbringing and just how you came to be, you know, this play-by-play and big-time guy for the Ballers?
Well, big time is the only thing big time about me is my clothes size, because I love food. But yeah, no, definitely. Dan Helody, originally grew up in Florida. So I grew up watching Tampa Bay Rays games, actually, and grew up kind of in that era of Evan Longoria and James Shields and David Price and all those guys, and fell in love with that team and fell in love with baseball. And, you know, then moved to North Carolina when I was in middle school and found a passion for minor league baseball. I've always loved going to games. I grew up going to Charlotte Knights games, grew up going to Kannapolis Intimidator games. And, you know, growing up, you kind of figure out what you want to do. And right around middle school, high school timeframe, you know, I had an uncle who still is a producer at WFAN up in New York City, and got to go into him with work one day and got to see everything behind the scenes of what it means to be in radio and what it means to be in sports radio. And I figured out that, you know, it's something that I'd love to do, and something that I've had a passion for is talking about sports, and found a way to creatively express my thoughts and express some of the passion I have for this game. So just, you know, kind of gave it a shot. 2019, I showed up to a job fair here in Kannapolis, just looking for anything in the press box. At the time, Trevor Wilt, who is now our on-field host here in Kannapolis, he was the radio broadcaster, decided to bring me on for a month's trial, just kind of one of those things. It was like, hey, we'll bring you in for a month, see how you do, and maybe, you know, if we need you more, we'll keep you around. Well, 5 years later, I've gone from game day press box worker to now the voice of the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and slowly worked my way up. My first season, I was the youngest broadcaster in minor league baseball. Still am one of the younger guys. I'm only 23. I'll be 24 at the end of the season. So definitely a blessing, definitely an honor, and I enjoy every second of it. Baseball is definitely life around here.
That's awesome, Dan. That is the coolest thing to hear, the story of just kind of finding your passion and going for it, right? As someone myself who's in the exact same spot right now, where it's just, you know, trying to figure out what the outlet is for your passion and for your creativity, right? That's super cool to hear that you just kind of made it happen, right? That's all it takes sometimes. And I know that you clearly are passionate about the Ballers and the White Sox organization, and that is very obvious from listening to you call games over the past few years. So it's a treat to listen to you, and that's awesome that you're able to be where you are right now. You know, going towards this season, right? Like we're looking ahead to the season, but I want to take a step back as someone who kind of, there's a lot of players that came through Kannapolis last year that are now kind of prominent prospects within the White Sox system, right? There's some guys that, you know, 2022 draft picks, and then even some guys even earlier than that who made their debuts with Kannapolis last year, ended up rising pretty quickly through the system, and are now guys that we're looking at as, you know, potential White Sox players in the next year to 2 years, right? So I want to start on the hitting side of things, talking some baseball with you from last year. One guy that is, you know, is easy to talk about because the entire White Sox organization and like all of social media loves him is Tim Elko, who started the season with the Cannonballers. You know, an older guy, right, drafted by the White Sox in the later rounds, played at Ole Miss, just has a huge following of Ole Miss fans. How was it watching Elko like just go crazy at the beginning of the season in Kannapolis and just see kind of his first taste of a full professional ball and just what he was able to do?
Well, I can't lie. I might have seen it coming just a little bit, seeing him kind of progress, early on during the season, those preseason warmups and practices that the guys go through before we actually get going with games. He would spray balls around the field in batting practice, and he was constantly putting them out of the yard just with consistency. Constantly was doing it, and he's got a lot of pop in that bat. We know that. So he came in and really just showed out. First game last year, hit a big 3-run homer, gave us a win on opening day down and down east. And since then, really, I mean, he just showed up and he hit homers. And chicks dig the long ball, especially around here in Kannapolis. People love the home run ball, and Elko was the guy that produced it. So you kind of see a little bit of that here in Kannapolis. People love the home run ball. So it was Elko, and then the year before it was DJ Gladney. Was the fan favorite. So whoever hits the homers around here is the favorite. And Tim got a lot of attention, a lot of fans around here because he was so proficient in his power. And I think the thing to talk about with Tim, though, is he's progressed through the system, obviously, because he's a little older, but he's athletic. He's super athletic, and he's a great defender in the field. He played third base at Ole Miss up until he had an injury, and then they shifted him over to first, and he DH'd here and there too. So he's more of an athletic guy than people give him credit for. And seeing his progression, I mean, he's already advanced at the plate. We've seen that. But in the field, I mean, he's a very solid defender, and I think he's a well-rounded ball player that, the age kind of helps him a little bit to move through the system a little quicker. And I think he just took advantage of good pitching down here in single A and went out and impressed.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think he's, you could tell he was almost slightly too old possibly for the age, right? He was just advanced. You could tell as a player, he had more maturity than a lot of players, pitchers at that level especially, right? So he was prepared for what he was ready to see. And then you saw even when he went to Winston, he still continued to do the same thing there. Gets to Birmingham, has a little bit of a harder time, right? Because, that's a higher level for him. That's more on the same level as, some of the guys he faced in college or even a little above that now. So I think everybody's excited to see where Elko takes him, but it's cool to hear kind of the insight of more than just, home runs, right? He's got some more to his game for sure. Another guy that I'm watching carefully and I really grew to love last year was Jacob Burke, because he, just a highlight reel in center field, right? That's a guy who just the plays he made last season, I was like, this is ridiculous sometimes. Just really impressive all around. The hit tools there, the defense is there, good speed, right? What were some of the things you saw from Burke, another guy who went to Winston, fairly quickly, right? But you got a good taste of him at Kannapolis.
Yeah, you talked about it, a human highlight reel. That's the best way to describe Jacob Burke. He plays with flair. He plays with that flashy game. He's always been that guy. He was here a little bit at the end of 22, and then again, he showed up in 23 after a little bit of an injury to start the year, but he showed up, and man, did he ever show up and show out. I mean, he immediately got on this crazy hit streak, this crazy on-base streak, and went out there and performed, and he kind of showed off all of his tools. I mean, he showed off the ability to get on base, the ability to flash some power every now and then. He's not going to be the biggest power threat, but he's going to get on base, he's going to steal bags, and he's going to make those crazy plays. And, talking to him, he played football a lot growing up, and that was kind of the sport that he thought he was going to go pro in. He thought he was going to have a future in, was playing football, but baseball took him a different direction. And I was talking to him about playing center field and what kind of a mentality you have. And we talked about how playing center field is almost kind of being like a free safety, about how you have to have kind of some range of motion and some ability to get to the ball quickly. You have to make the right angle and the right cut. And if you got to lay out for a ball, you got to lay out for a ball. Jacob was never afraid to do that. So I think we talked about some of the athleticism that we had there, and the mentality is obviously very strong with Jacob. He already has said, some crazy stuff even last year about how he could definitely hop in with the White Sox, how he feels that he can make an immediate impact. And I don't disagree with him. I think that Jacob, whenever he gets there, because I think he will, make a strong impression on White Sox fans, and I think he'll be ranging for some fly balls up there in center field.
Yeah, definitely. I interviewed him last fall, and I remember talking to him, and he was like one of the more confident dudes I've talked to. And that's a great thing to see, because you can just tell he knows his game and he knows what he's good at. And that's something that can be hard for younger guys, right, to kind of understand what they do well, and he gets it. He knows what he does. He trusts himself. So someone that I think, you know, him being in double A right now, like there's, like you said, the defense, the speed, like he could keep going up if he keeps doing what he's doing. And the floor is really high because of that defense. I mean, that's gold glove caliber potential in the outfield, really, truly. Another guy in the hitting side, the last one I want to mention from last season is Brooks Baldwin. Another guy from that same draft class, also going to be in double A. All three of those guys are going to start the season in double A after, you know, beginning with single A last year, right? So that's a big jump for those guys. Baldwin is, I think, probably one of the more under the radar guys compared to those first two, where not a ton of people are aware of Brooks Baldwin's game. But you know, the versatility is crazy, right? He plays all over the field. The hit tools there, some power, some speed, just a well-rounded player. What are some of the things that really stood out from Baldwin last year?
So I mentioned growing up that I grew up watching a lot of those Tampa Bay Rays teams and a lot of that era of Rays baseball. And one of the names that sticks out from that team that reminds me a lot of Brooks Baldwin is a guy that made an impact on the north side of Chicago, but Ben Zobrist. It's 2.0. Watching Brooks Baldwin out there on the diamond, playing all these different positions, a switch hitter. He's got a little bit of pop. He's got the average. He's got the speed. He's got five tools, and he uses all five tools everywhere on the diamond. And watching him play, it's not really that any of the five tools sticks out. I would say of the five, he gets on base, and he hits for average, but he hits line drives. So if he's able to loft the ball a little bit more, if he's able to maybe even quicken the swing up a little bit, if he's able to get more of the miles per hour on a quick swing, he could easily hit probably 15, 20 homers. I could see it happening from Brooks Baldwin. So I think he's a guy that, again, not really a guy that models his game after anyone. Whenever I talk to him, he just kind of wants to be himself. He wants to be the first Brooks Baldwin, and he doesn't really model his game after anyone. But whenever I watched him play, I said, man, that's Ben Zobrist out there. And he plays everywhere, hits for average, sometimes some power here and there, and he's a very solid defender. He's a plus defender everywhere he goes.
That's an awesome comp. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty cool stuff. I love to hear that as just a, you know, somebody, obviously I'm a White Sox guy, but growing up watching Chicago sports, right? Zobrist was always that guy where you could just put him in any spot and it worked. And that's how, you're right, that's how it feels watching Baldwin, right? And I think it's cool that he's going to get a chance to really play middle infield now in Birmingham. Cause when you look at that roster, he kind of is going to be the primary shortstop and or second baseman on most games there, with Ramos at third and Elko at first, and then a really loaded outfield there with Burke and some other guys. So I'm excited to see him kind of take on that infield role, but then also you still know that any given day somebody else is taking an off day. Oh, sure, Brooks can go play third. Oh, I'll throw him in left field when Terrell Tatum or Burke has a day off, right? So there's a lot of options there with him, which is exciting. On the pitching side of things, there's actually a lot of pitchers in Kannapolis last year. I know you know this, obviously. There was a really impressive group of pitchers throughout the roster. Obviously, you know, results and talent are two different things at this level of baseball, right? But the talent last year on the roster, pitching-wise, was off the charts, really. And just a lot of guys who are names to circle. And, you know, I think Future Sox has five guys from Kannapolis last year on our top 30 prospects for the organization right now. So we'll start with Noah Schultz, right? You know, that's the guy, top pitching prospect in the organization. I got to watch him throw in Arizona a few weeks ago. And man, I mean, it's scary stuff. I know it was obviously a limited sample, right? Only 27 and a third innings for him. Trying to ease his arm. I think this year is going to be a big step for him in Winston, right? But what is just like, everybody knows this stuff is good. Tell me about Noah Schultz and the things that could make him special aside from just 99 mile an hour, ridiculous moving fastball and the slider that's deadly, right?
Well, you took out the fastball and you take out the slider. I mean, you took those two out. But the thing is those two are so advanced and so good that he doesn't really need much else. I mean, he's 6'9", obviously, and he's got that crazy arm slot. His slider looks like you're throwing from first base when he's got the arm slot. It's unhittable. I don't know how lefties even step into the box against him. It's kind of crazy. But no, Noah definitely's got the stuff. We've seen it. We've seen the velocity. We've seen the movement. Really, you're asking, what else does he need? Well, right now he just needs innings. I think that this year is going to be big for Noah in the sense of he needs to stay healthy, needs to stay on the mound, needs to be able to go deeper into some games. You know, he's on an innings limit. Everything I've read is that he's going to be pitching once a week and have an innings limit, which is fine. There's not a problem with that. But again, he just needs to be able to reach that limit and kind of push himself to get deeper into games and get more outs. And not saying necessarily to limit pitch counts. I mean, if you go into deep counts against batters, it's not a bad thing necessarily. You want to put him in situations where he's going to be able to be comfortable no matter what, whether it's a first pitch fly out or a deep 3-2, 11 pitch at bat. You want to put him in those scenarios. So I think watching Noah this year is going to be fascinating. And, we've seen the stuff. We've seen what he can do. Now it's going to be, can he go deeper into games?
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to, right? And obviously we don't want to push him too far this season because he's still incredibly young, tons of life on that arm. It's not about right now for him. It's about the long term for him. But getting those innings and getting, a 4-inning start and then eventually mid-season maybe a 5-inning start, right? That's going to be the big step for him because we all know the stuff plays. It's just that continued buildup. Two guys who were coming off of Tommy John last year and just kind of, it's obviously an adjustment and being in your first full professional season while also kind of getting your arm and body back to where it maybe used to be. Peyton Paulette and Tanner McDougal, both guys that spent the year with Kannapolis, right, after coming off of surgery and just kind of trying to find their groove, right? I think both those guys were not bad by any means last year, but you can see more. Like I think from what I've seen, both those guys are two guys, high draft picks, tons of stuff. Two guys that you can expect to tick up a little and to kind of get the stuff rolling, get the velo rolling and other elements. What did you see from those guys that gives you kind of hope that they will continue to get better this coming season?
Yeah, I kind of saw two different guys with Peyton Paulette and Tanner McDougal last year. With Paulette, I saw a lot of pitchability. I think they're you talked about it a couple of podcasts ago. I listen to Future Sox. I listen to all the podcasts. I stay in touch, but talked about pitchability and talked about how, he doesn't have the craziest velocity. Maybe he doesn't have the craziest movement, but he knows how to go out and pitch because there's a difference between getting on the mound and throwing the ball and pitching. And Peyton Paulette knows how to go out there and pitch a baseball game. I mean, we saw that last year. He didn't go deeper than 4 innings in a game. He really didn't have too many outings where he went out and walked too many guys. He played to contact quite a bit. His strikeout numbers were a little lower, but again, he plays to contact. He's going to get the ground balls, and we saw that from Paulette last year. So I think last year was a successful season for him. On the other side, Tanner McDougal, I think this season, his biggest thing is he's got to stay consistent. Last year, it would be too many times where he'd go out and he'd have 8 strikeouts in an outing and look unhittable and be fantastic with a fastball that's 97, 98, and then a sweeping curveball, and then he'd go out and walk 6 guys the next outing. And Tanner's a guy that is fantastic, definitely the life of the clubhouse, and definitely a guy that we had a lot of fun having last year. He's very personable, loves to hang around with the front office and everything. He's very social person, very extroverted, outgoing person. And you talk to him and he's like, man, I just want to go out and throw. And you could see the frustration, the sense of like, I just want to stay consistent. And just talking to him in that, I think, his stuff's there, obviously. As far as flashier stuff, McDougal's a little more flashy than Paulette as far as stuff goes, as far as velo goes. But, we talked about Paulette's pitchability. McDougal's got the stuff, and he can go out there and do it. Just needs to stay consistent. And both of them need to go out and get more innings. Neither of them pitched more than 4 innings, I should say, last year.
Right, exactly. Yeah, building up the arm for both those guys. As different pitchers, they both still have a lot of upside and just need to continue to work off what they started last year. The last pitcher I want to mention before we head into this current season is Mason Adams, who was definitely came out of nowhere for most people. Was kind of piggybacking in Noah Schultz starts at one point, made some starts of his own, ended up finishing the year 3 games in Winston, 3 games in Birmingham. Was great at both stops after being in Kannapolis for most of the year, right? So this is a guy that, came in with very minimal knowledge for among fans. I mean, I started watching him mostly because of Noah Schultz, right? I was watching the piggyback and I was like, oh, I'll keep watching the game and see what Mason Adams. And then he would go 5 innings after Schultz and give up a run and strike out 7 guys. And that was like his normal. So what did you see from Adams as a guy who just came in? I know I've talked to him a little bit, a quiet guy, right? Just does his thing. What did you see from him that just was kind of impressive for such a underrated guy?
Yeah, Mason likes to miss bats. He likes to pick up strikeouts. He doesn't like to let the ball get in play. He just likes to go out there and play a little catch with the catcher. Really, it was kind of funny watching him pitch after Noah because everyone – kind of the sense that I got every time that he would piggyback Noah is everyone would be watching and go, okay, we just get through Schultz 2-3 innings, and then we're going to face this guy out of the bullpen. Well, Then you got Mason Adams going out there and striking out 12 in five innings, and he ends up pitching better than Noah sometimes. So definitely a guy that has the talent and, yeah, came out of nowhere, but he showed up and showed out last year. You can't blame a guy for going out there and doing well. And, you know, the White Sox obviously believe in him, moving him already to Double-A and seeing what he can do. Might as well go out there and test what he can do. He goes deeper into games. He's got a little bit of that longevity. He can go 5-6 innings right now. So that's very promising. And I think Mason Adams is definitely a talent to watch and going to be a guy that, you know, kind of like that Davis Martin, where coming up, you didn't really know what you were going to get. Nobody really knew who he was, but then he shows up and it's like, okay, this guy's not all the way bad.
Yeah, and it's not overpowering, right? It's not like he has the crazy stuff. I think that's part of what helped him pair with Schultz was that it was a totally different look. Mm-hmm. You know, the other side of the arm, different arm slot, different types of pitches. He just knows how to mix and match stuff and find his spots and just get guys confused at the plate, really, at the end of the day. So he's someone we're pumped to watch. I've been a fan of his since I started watching him at the beginning of last year, and I think he's could rise quickly in the system as an older guy too. Going over into 2024, right, before we get into specific players – this is a very different roster. I think it's last year there was a lot of names people already kind of knew and were circling going into the season. This year, you've got a lot of unknowns in this roster and a lot of, you know, a mixture of the 2023 draft picks from last year that have kind of now this is their first full season. And then you've got a variety of just, you know, minor league signings, some international guys, just a really interesting roster of just a blend of players. How are you feeling about the season and what's just the energy heading into this year for Kannapolis?
Well, just in the few days the boys have been here, I can certainly tell you that they're ready to go. They're just ready to go. We're all ready to go play baseball. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what they're here to do is go play ball. And, you know, they're leaving a little bit later today to go play Charleston for three, and then we'll be home on Tuesday. And, you know, we're just ready to go play baseball. I think that's the sense I get from everyone down on the field and watching BP and, you know, watching sim games and everything. And everyone's, you know, getting used to the pitch clock again and everything like that. Just they're ready to go play baseball. I think that the mentality is, listen, go out, do your job and get ready for the next game. I mean, that's kind of the sense that I'm getting. And, you know, Pat Leland's put together, obviously he hasn't put together, but he's got a squad assigned to him that is, it's got some talent. It's got a good mix of guys that have been here before that really are just trying to improve their game for the next step. And then there's some guys that are just showing up and ready to kind of prove themselves and show off what they can do.
Yeah, definitely. It's an exciting group. I think it's one of the levels, like a lot of people, myself included, really enjoy watching single A ball, right? Because there's so many guys that are just at that first step of really trying to prove themselves. And that just has this hunger to it that creates a team that, like you said, they want to play. They are going to be ready. They're going to be energetic. And it's going to be a fun watch all season. Offensively, starting on the hitting side of things, right? One guy that I have circled and definitely keeping my eye on is Ronnie Hernandez. Ronnie Hernandez is a guy that a lot of White Sox fans have watched. He's right outside of our top 30 at Future Sox. Someone who, you know, dominated at rookie ball last season, right? He played in the DSL in 2022 and then at the Arizona Complex League last year. You know, 923 OPS last season in the ACL. You know, consistent walk rates. He flashed a little bit of power here and there. Just a really impressive, you know, 19-year-old catcher, right? Lefty hitter. Just a twitchy guy too. What do you kind of, from what you've seen? I know you probably haven't seen a ton yet, but from what you've seen from Ronnie or what you know about him, what is that going to be like having him be kind of the primary catcher this season?
Yeah, you mentioned it. He's one of two 19-year-olds on the roster. So he's one of the two youngest guys on the team this year. And Ronnie Hernandez is just what I've seen so far has been exactly what you've said. Got that power. He's got the ability to draw walks. I mean, we've had a couple of different live BP and sim game actions going on this week. So we've kind of gotten to see what it's like to see Ronnie Hernandez in an at-bat and see what he can do. And everything I've seen points upward, and I think that what he's putting together is good so far, and I'm excited to see him in game action. But yeah, like you said, the talent's there, and I like where he is on the defensive side of the ball too. I like what kind of an arm he has, throwing a second base and throwing a third to try to get caught stealings, and obviously the light tower power in batting practice. He's hitting balls over the fence with consistency. So Ronnie Hernandez is exciting, and I can't wait to see what he's got.
Yeah, no, he's definitely someone we're watching. And I think one thing we've talked about all offseason is the catching depth in the White Sox organization is better than it's been in a decade, 2 decades maybe. I mean, it's really impressive to see at every level. There's a catcher you're watching, like, this guy could be a major leaguer, right? I mean, you've got Michael Turner, who was obviously made his way up last year, and then Edgar Caro and Calvin Harris, who's hurt right now, but is going to be probably in Winston, I'm assuming. So there's a lot of catching depth, and Ronnie's just, you know, one of the many catchers in line to try and make it to the major leagues, right? Beyond him, I want to talk a little bit about Riku Nishita, who's a guy that is just loved by fans, and people love watching him because he's fun to watch. It's incredibly, it's a cool swing. It's a small dude that just gets torque and just finds a way to make hard contact, and just a really cool player. So what did you see from Riku? You got to see him a little bit last year, and then going into this year, kind of being one of the kind of leaders on this team almost after last season.
Yeah, Riku's game is small ball. He's not going to be a power guy. Five six. He knows his game. He's not going to try to hit the ball out of the yard, but he plays fast. Definitely one of the fastest players I've ever seen on a field. He's got that contact ability. He gets the bunt down very well. They were doing a drill today, just, you know, where he was just sitting there working on bunting the ball down the third base line. And Riku's definitely a talent. He just goes out and has fun playing baseball. I've never seen that guy with anyone a smile on his face on the field or in the clubhouse or anything like that. He's having fun playing baseball. And, you know, he definitely has that mentality of it's a kid's game, and he goes out and has fun. And it just kind of helps that he's really talented. I mean, he's a great fielder, gets on base, and he steals bags. I mean, he's one of Oregon's top all-time stolen base leaders. You know, so he's got the speed, and really excited to see if he can kind of show up and show that this season early on here as we get a little bit of season action rolling.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch for sure. Just entertaining, right, as a player. Going over to a few other of the same draft class guys, right? Edrick Felix is a guy that I talked to a few months ago. Super, super fun player, just a really good guy too. Just seems very grounded and in what he does. What do you think about Edrick's kind of outlook as another guy who, 2023 guy, college guy, a little bit older, but someone that I think with a strong first start of the season could probably rise to Winston fairly quickly this season?
Yeah, I've got Edrick circled on my roster just as that guy to watch this season. I think early on he's going to be that guy to watch and really just keep an eye on early here in Kannapolis, just for the simple fact of, yeah, he came in and he struggled a little bit when he got here. He was striking out. He wasn't really able to get contact. Made some smooth plays in the field, but he wasn't playing with really any flash or anything like that. Well, then he goes to Puerto Rico in the winter, and he goes off. And I talked to him a little about that, and he's like, man, I had fun. Like, it was so much fun going out and playing baseball, and it was fun to win. So talking to him was, you know, it was encouraging. And I told him, I was like, man, well, you got to go do it now here. And he said, man, that's definitely the plan. And I think that, you know, the plan is to carry some of that momentum from a successful winter ball season and bring that here. He didn't stop playing baseball. And when you don't stop playing baseball, you're able to keep it rolling. And you're in that kind of frame of game time. You know, it takes a little bit of time for some of these guys who didn't play winter ball, who've been out for a little bit, to get back into full game speed. And so I think certainly Edrick Felix is going to be a guy that is a little more advanced in that way, just because, again, he played winter ball. And I think he'll be a guy to watch early on.
Yeah, he talked to me too a few months ago about how much Puerto Rico and how much that meant to him this offseason, and just really getting in the groove there and finding his rhythm and playing against guys who were veterans and have been around the game for a while. And that does make a difference, right? And it can help you start the season a lot hotter than if you're coming in having taken a few months off, right? Another guy, international guy that I want to mention is Javier Mora. Javier is a guy who, you know, was really, really good at rookie ball last year in the beginning of the season, and didn't play a ton of games, got a little taste of Kannapolis and did struggle off the bat, but is someone that, you know, in 2022 and 2023, when he was able to play, was pretty impressive at the complex league. So I think he's someone that, you know, with the full season now to be in Kannapolis and start the year there and really develop, could take a step forward. What have you got to see from him so far, and kind of just the few games you saw from him last year too?
Yeah, I think Javier Mora's got a guy that's got some talent. I kind of look at him as an anchor for the infield, plays well in the field, at the plate, looks like he knows what he's going for. I mean, he's not walking up blind, so to say. He kind of knows what he's looking for at the plate, whether he's looking for a fastball or that off speed. He knows what you know, he reads scouting reports well, almost is what I would say. So Javier Moore is a mature batter, and he's a very advanced fielder. So seeing what he can do this season is going to be fun. I think that, you know, again, getting a little game action and staying consistently on the field and in the lineup is going to help him. You know, he was here in Kannapolis, but again, he didn't play much. He was off every, you know, 2-3 days he'd step in and play. But, you know, when you get in and you're consistently in the lineup, consistently in the field, I think it helps guys. And I think Javier is going to be one of those guys that is going to succeed under playing time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. One more guy I want to mention who I'm not even sure how much you have gotten to talk to him or see him at all, but Albertson Osagen is a guy who was signed literally a week ago. He was released by the Red Sox, just brought into Kannapolis. Kind of, I think, somebody that, you know, a lot of the times when minor league guys, for people that don't know this, when minor league guys get released, it can often be, you know, a week or two out from the season, right? And then it's immediately turning around and signing with a new team and trying to get your groove. And that can be difficult for sure. But when I was going through this roster, I looked up his stats and I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting, right? 22, so a little bit older for the single A level, but a guy that had 17 homers, 20 stolen bases, and an OPS just under 900 last year between rookie ball and single A. So really impressive numbers last season, his first professional season after being in the DSL the year before. A guy that new to the organization, right, going to take some time to settle in for sure, but definitely stood out to me when I was going through some of these players that I didn't necessarily recognize as someone who was really good last year with the Red Sox organization.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's going to help him early on is he has experience at the level. I mean, he played some with Salem last year, and having a guy that's already got some of that playing experience, even if it's in a different organization, even if it's with a different team, it certainly helps. It's going to help out a lot, and I think, again, he's another guy that's like Javier Moore. He's going to get some playing time, and I think it's going to help him. You know, he's coming from Boston system and, you know, still trying to learn everything and still is kind of a shyer guy in the clubhouse and just, you know, kind of, you know, meeting these guys on media day, talking to them and everything like that. He's still kind of shy and he's still new. But I think once he feels comfortable and he's able to go out and perform, I think it's going to be fun to watch him.
Yeah, definitely. Totally agree there. On the pitching side of things, one of my favorite names I've had marked down since last year in the entire organization, actually, someone that I put in my top 30. I don't think he cracked the Future Sox top 30 in the consensus, but definitely in my top 30 is Aldrin Batista, someone who, you know, got his first taste of single A ball last year with the Ballers after, you know, pitching in the ACL for most of the season, right? 5 games with you guys last year. 2.66 ERA across almost 24 innings, right? So he was eating innings. He was getting 21 strikeouts in that time frame. So he was missing bats. He was doing things well. And that's, again, for a guy who, you know, is 20 right now, right? He started last season at 19. So this is someone who's incredibly young, already has 5 games of single A under his belt, and now is going to be one of the true, you know, core pieces of this rotation heading into the year. What did you see from Batista last year, and what do you think we can expect from him in his first full season this year?
Yeah, the strikeout talent's there. I mean, he led the complex league in strikeouts before getting traded to the White Sox organization. So definitely a guy that has the talent and is able to miss bats. He's got strikeouts. He went deep into games for us, too, in a time frame where it was almost like we needed starters that went deeper into games. And he went 5 innings every time. So very helpful add to the team last year for 5 starts. And then now he's going to come in and he's going to do his thing. And he's not going to see action this weekend unless it's out of the bullpen, but I highly doubt it. I think they're going to save him in a starting role probably early next week. So we'll see what he can do, and it's going to be fun to watch. His velo's ticked up a little bit, so he's throwing, again, 97-ish with his fastball, which is impressive stuff. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Aldrin. And, you know, he's got a good polished approach on the mound. He doesn't look lost at all. You know, he's threw a little bit today and got to see him pitch, and he looks sharp. So going to be fun to see. And again, we talked a little bit about earlier about having the experience in the level, even 5 starts last year. I mean, 5 innings per outing, it's not too shabby at all. So he knows what he's walking into. And I think it's going to be fun to watch Aldrin this year.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you on that front. And, you know, it's worth mentioning, right? Dodgers organization guy, that organization knows how to identify pitching. We've talked about this many times in regard to Nick Mastrini, Jordan Leisure, who were brought over last year. That's a guy who, you know, they saw something in him, as they do in many of their pitching prospects. And I think he could continue to develop in a really rapid direction with the stuff he has. And at such a young age still, really excited about that. In terms of some of the guys that, you know, last year's draft class guys, right? A lot of the guys in this roster were last year's draft class. Seth Keener is a guy that I want to mention because I talked to him last year. Really interesting kind of just mindset Keener has, a super cerebral type of guy, and also just thinks about what he's doing, thinks through his pitching a lot ahead of time, right? And beyond that is, you know, transitioning from being a reliever at Wake Forest to now being a full-time starter. So what do you think it looks like for him to kind of get his innings under his belt, but also just adjust to the routine of being, you know, a year-long starter, which is very different than a college reliever, right, in terms of the innings, in terms of how often you're pitching, all those different types of aspects?
Well, part of the cerebral aspect is he came from Wake Forest, and Wake Forest isn't too bad a school, so that might play a part of it. But no, Seth Keener is definitely a smart baseball player, a smart guy on the mound. He goes out and, again, does his thing. He has what he has, and he has his a really strong pitchability. I think another kind of guy like a Paulette, where he's got the pitchability, his stuff is flashy, it's 95, 96, with his fastball, and he's got movement on his breaking ball. But again, I think it's the pitchability. He knows what he's doing when he goes out there. He's been in different situations as a reliever. He knows what he's getting into when he gets on the mound. So even just a couple of starts here last year at the end of the season, I think it's going to help him out. You know, he's getting the opening day start tomorrow in Charleston, and it's going to be fun to see what he can do against the River Dogs team tomorrow. So it's going to be fun. I think Keener's going to be kind of that early ace for us this season, and we'll get to see what he can do.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's definitely, you know, high expectation on him, but someone that is, I think, can handle it, and I think is ready to kind of take this next step this year as one of the key pieces of the rotation for sure. Jake Peppers is another guy from that draft class who I think, you know, got a little bit of action in the ACL last year, but really it was just about keeping his arm ready to go for this season when he was finishing up last year. A lot of interesting stuff from Peppers. I like the way he throws. I just think he's got a little bit of a funky motion to him that I enjoy watching, and someone who, you know, was projected to be even a little bit higher than where he went in the ninth round, and the White Sox were able to pick him up there. Peppers is a guy I assume is going to be in the rotation, but what are you thinking kind of his outlook is going to be like this year?
Yeah, Peppers has some life on his fastball. That's kind of what I've taken from him. He threw a sim earlier this week, and man, he's got some life on his fastball, and really nobody could hit it. It was kind of fun to watch. He had an at bat against Riku in a sim game earlier this week. That was just, it was so fun to watch them talk to each other, because obviously Riku's out there having fun and enjoying it, and Jake's, you know, talking some trash and everything. And you see that little competitive energy from him, and it's fun to watch. But no, he's a fun guy. Definitely has a little funky delivery, but I really like it. I think it looks really good. And then, you know, again, life on a fastball. That's what I've taken early from him. Assume to see him in the rotation soon. We'll see how that goes. But going to be fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He's another guy that we kind of have our eye on because the stuff is there. It's upside stuff for sure. There's a variety of guys actually in the organization in general that are on the IL right now and just kind of working through injuries, whether it's kind of just early season stuff or more significant injuries, but that are in Arizona right now. So a guy like Eddie Park that we saw last year a little bit of, and Calvin Harris, as well as Grant Taylor. So those are three of last year's draft class guys, Taylor working his way back from surgery, right? Any of those guys, I think there's a chance that any of those guys end up in Winston actually sooner than later. But what are kind of your thoughts on those three draft picks that are all working back from injuries, but have all kind of shown some serious upside after being drafted last year?
Yeah, haven't seen too much on Grant Taylor. Obviously, he hasn't really pitched anywhere. Obviously, still recovering from surgery. But, you know, everything I've seen from him, you know, watching old LSU tape and everything, he looks sharp. It looks like a great pickup. And kind of similar to Paulette a little bit in the sense of coming back from Tommy John. Kind of that first-round potential, but again, got hurt and that type of thing. So, see some similarities there for sure. And, you know, everything I've seen of him looks really good. Calvin Harris is such a fun guy to watch behind the dish. He's such a great defender, and he hits the ball. He hits the ball hard. Obviously, that old school approach, no bat and gloves, and very simple stance in the box. He doesn't do too much. He's not a flashy guy, but man, he just goes out there and plays baseball, and he's very talented. He's advanced in just about every category. And it's going to be fun to watch him progress through the system. Eddie Park, prototype number two hitter, I would say. Not quite a leadoff guy. Speed-wise, he is fast. He's got above-average speed. But I'd say he's a two hitter in the sense of, you know, he's got great contact. He knows how to slice the ball, put line drives into play, and get on base and just kind of do his thing. That's kind of what I've seen from Eddie Park, a well-rounded outfielder, you know, a smart kid, came from Stanford. Again, that pedigree of going to a high academic school, you can't, you know, ignore that. So Eddie Park's a smart baseball player and will go out there and perform. So it's going to be fun to watch all three of those guys. And, you know, we'll see where they end up. Hopefully we'll get one or two of them back here. And it would be fun to have some guys here, but you know, we're single A, so we understand that if guys progress, it's not bad.
Of course, yeah, no, definitely. There, it's exciting to have, you know, guys on the way, right? There's other guys too, some younger guys in the ASL right now that will make their way. George Walkow is another guy that I've gotten to know decently well. It's tons of upside. I think he's going to start in Arizona, but definitely can make his way to Kannapolis soon. There's a variety of players down in Arizona that definitely could join the Kannapolis roster at some point. Is there anybody else on this roster aside from the guys I mentioned that you want to highlight or that you just have thoughts on from seeing them play or just guys that you have gotten to talk to that stand out to you?
Yeah, I'd say the one arm that I'm looking forward to, he's going to pitch Saturday in the rotation, but Lucas Gordon, sixth rounder last year out of Texas, Cali kid, he went to Texas and ended up performing. Obviously, kind of highly touted, even coming out of high school. You know, he's part of Team USA and was at the high school all-star game in Cleveland in 2019. He's been kind of that highly touted guy and showed up at Texas and did his thing and you know, got drafted in the sixth round last year. Pitched twice here, didn't give up a run, just kind of went out and did his thing, and he looks very polished. But going to be a kind of good a two-punch in that rotation early, you know, Keener being the one and then Gordon being that guy next that, you know, people have to go out and face early innings. So Lucas Gordon's going to be fun to watch. I really like what I've seen from him, and it'll be fascinating to see what happens early on this season.
Yeah. That's another guy I wrote down and forgot to mention. So I appreciate bringing him up because that's definitely someone else from last year's draft class, right? Like it's cool with Kannapolis too. I don't know if you feel this, but when you have new draft class come in and you just know that most of those guys are going to start in Kannapolis, it's kind of an exciting energy to see the way a class develops. And I really enjoy that because I know that draft class in 2023 from talking to a lot of those guys, like they're close. They like each other. There's a good vibe with that draft class from what I've seen. So it's going to be cool to watch a variety of those guys on the roster already and more that are going to join the roster throughout the season, right? Well, Dan, I that's all I got for you. I'm super excited for this season. It sounds like you are too. We at Future Soccer are pumped to see what's going to come from the Ballers, and it's going to be a great year. So we appreciate you coming on and talking some Ballers with us today.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a fun season. We'll be in Charleston this weekend and then home and away and home, and we'll be going till Labor Day again a little after that, so we'll have all the action for you here and can't wait to have you tune in on some broadcasts. You're stuck with listening to me, but you know, I guess there's worse things, you know, so I guess there's worse, there's definitely better, but
yeah,
all good. Enjoy it, and we'll hope to catch you on the broadcast, even come down to Kannapolis. Come on down.
I might have to make my way there this summer, and we're pumped to listen for sure. And we'll find a time to talk to you maybe sometime later in the season as well. Really appreciate you coming on, Dan.
Absolutely. Have a blast.